Attention again to the connection cards. This is something that we'd like to have you fill out every week, at least, you know, put your name on there. And what's going on? You know, what's God doing? Do you have prayer requests? Do you have praises? Just a good way to communicate what's going on in your life. Comments, questions, you can put those on there too. Bulletin. Since we're doing communion this morning, I want to get this one out of the way. This is your bulletin. It's got lots of different information in it. Just again, a big thank you to those who helped out with VBS. If you've gone down through the downstairs, there's still some stuff that's set up that they had set up. It's really, really kind of cool looking. They used a lot of cardboard. Camp Pinecroft is coming up. You can still, if you have kids that want to go to that, they can still register. There's just, it's a little bit more expensive now because of the time. And then next Sunday's our first outdoor service. We'll be providing the main dish, and so there's information there on what to bring, a side dish or a dessert or a salad or whatever. There's new phone lists out in the hospitality area that have been updated. And the adult class, of course, there's no class next week because of the outdoor service. You can still participate in that class. You'll need to go to Lifeway here in town. They have the books. You'll need to go there and buy a book. You need to make sure you get the book. It's not the workbook. It's just the book, and it's the 2012 edition. It's actually been updated. So this has really been a good read, and there's a lot of good information in there. So you can still join that, and we just kind of sit around the table and discuss what we read. So pretty simple. We're participating in communion this morning, and so I think it says that the message is going to be in Mark 15, and it's not because I changed it after the bulletin was done. It's my prerogative, I guess. So we're actually having a message specifically on communion this morning. But before we do that, let's pray. Could I get somebody to grab me some water? Thanks, Wendy. Father, thank you. What a beautiful morning. Thank you for your provision for us so many different ways in our lives that I'm sure we don't even really know how much you do for us and how you provide for us and how you care for us. And I just want to give you the honor and the glory this morning because you deserve it. You're God. You are the one true God. And Father, as we have come here this morning to participate in the music and the message and maybe in the class, the children downstairs, Father, help our hearts to just have an outpouring of worship to you because of who you are and what you've done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of the text is going to be from 1 Corinthians 11. So if you want to open your Bibles there, that's where a lot of the text will be coming from. Thank you very much. And the first one we're going to be looking at is remembrance. Remembrance. This is 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. "That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So obviously, one of the main themes here in the Lord's Supper and communion is remembrance. Remembering what Christ has done for us. Knowing that we have been redeemed by his blood. By the grace of God shown to us. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we need to remember what he did for us. It's in remembrance of him, a personal God. We also need to remember that it was at a historical point, but we also need to remember it as a personal thing. There was a time in history when this occurred. But we who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it becomes a personal thing also, remembering him personally and what he's done in our lives and all those different things. It's not about a date or a place, but it really is about a personal relationship. Doing it in remembrance of him, in remembrance of Jesus. He says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He loves us. That's what he wants for us. That's from Matthew 11. How do we respond in remembrance? We need to remember the gracious love of our Heavenly Father, who made us children, his own possessions. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Not all of mankind can call themselves children of God. They can call him creator. But we have to be adopted into his family. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be adopted into his family. When we accept Christ as Savior, we then become children of God. Basically, we become princes and princesses of the King. That's a pretty mind-blowing thought. That God is not only our Heavenly Father, but he is King. And we get all the inheritance of the children. Remember Jesus, sent by the Father. He came to share our human nature, to live and to die just as we do. He came to take that separation that sin caused and that brought death to reconcile us to God, our Father. He was the perfect sacrifice. It was through his suffering and death and the resurrection that saved us if we put our trust in him. 1 John 4:14 says, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be Savior of the world. The disciples saw him as Savior. They understood that. We also need to remember the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who teaches us all things, who makes the effect of Christ's salvation real in our lives. Once we've accepted Jesus as Savior, we're given the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. He takes up residence here. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that works, to be honest. It's an amazing thing to think that the Holy Spirit, every one of you who've accepted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you right now today. Yeah. Yeah. To give us understanding, to help us understand Scripture, to help us hear the small voice of God when he speaks quietly to us. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak what he hears from the Father. He will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's Word, to help us understand Scripture. The Bible says that the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. You know, and so it's no wonder when you hear people say, well, I've read the Bible, but, you know, yeah, it's an interesting story. Because they probably don't have the Spirit of God. Once they receive the Spirit of God, then they read the Bible and it's just like, wow, their eyes are opened and now they have understanding. Oh, that's what this is about. Proclamation is the next one. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Proclaiming the Lord's death, which includes telling about the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the benefit there is for us. that eternal life is available for us. So every time we participate in communion, we're declaring that. We're proclaiming the death of Jesus and all that that encompasses. Salvation, becoming heirs with Him. John 6:51 says, this is Jesus speaking, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. There were some people that had a hard time with that as Jesus was relaying himself, talking about eating my flesh, drinking my blood. The participation with him in what he's doing. Also, it would be leading up to when they had that Last Supper together and he gave that example of the body and the blood and what we're to do with it, how we're to remember, how we're to proclaim. It also includes fellowship. Think about the very intimate scene that occurred in the Last Supper. As Jesus and his disciples were in that upper room alone, just them together, Jesus knowing this is the last time we're going to celebrate Passover together. This is the last meal we're going to have. This is going to be one of the last times he has to really speak to them about what's coming and what's going to happen. And just the way in that culture, the way they ate dinner was very intimate. They literally reclined. There was no chairs, short table, pillows on the ground, and a lot of them literally were almost leaning on one another. It was very intimate. And it's possible for us to enjoy that intimate fellowship with Jesus and with the Father through what Jesus has done. That we need to live in Him as He lives in us. At the Lord's table, we celebrate the fellowship with God and with each other. That was a big part, especially as Paul was talking to the Corinthians. That was a huge issue for the Corinthians, was that idea of fellowship and how they were caring for one another and loving one another. Fellowship with God, 1 John 1:1-4 says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the whole, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write, so that your joy may be made complete in having that fellowship with the Father. We also have fellowship with one another. 1 John 1:5-7. This is continuing that passage. This is the message we have heard from Him, from Jesus, and announced to you that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. How about an amen? Where's Mike when you need him? Oh. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and he will come to him. And we will make our home with him, John 14:23. Fellowship with God and with his Son. Jesus goes on to say in John 17, I pray that all of them may be one. He's talking about his followers, his disciples. May be one, Father, as you and I, as you are in me and I am in you. This is fellowship with one another and with the Father. That was Jesus' desire for us, followers of Jesus Christ, was to have that intimate fellowship with one another and with God the Father. Self-examination. This is chapter 11, 27 through 32. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. Self-examination. Jesus, at that Last Supper, made this statement. He says, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And all of a sudden, a whole lot of self-examination started happening. And remember their response? Lord, not I, not me. It couldn't be me, could it? Paul's teaching there in 1 Corinthians, it's not only the disciples that need to examine themselves, but all Christians. As we meet at the Lord's table, he warned that those who didn't examine themselves would be drinking judgment unto themselves. That's how serious Paul was taking this. That when you come and you proclaim this, when you have fellowship with one another, when you're remembering what Jesus did, it's serious. It's not something to take lightly. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to make sure you're looking at yourself and saying, so where am I today? Not that you're going to be perfect, but what's your relationship like with the Lord today? Is there some things that you need to maybe deal with before you participate in communion? It's amazing how the enemy works on Sunday morning. Especially if you have a large family. I mean, it's just like all of a sudden everything falls apart, right? So everything's going along really good. All of a sudden one of the kids shows up and they're absolutely filthy. They've been outside doing who knows what. Julie and Aylor know about that. Wait a minute, it was 2 seconds ago you were clean and ready for church. Or a diaper explodes, or your wife brings up something and it just goes. We just don't talk on Sunday morning. It just makes it easier that way. Well, what do you think about? Not on Sunday morning. Wait till after the service. Isn't that amazing, though? You know, Sunday morning, it's just like, man, the enemy goes into overdrive. Because he's trying to get our focus off of the Lord. We need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're in right standing. We've made that account short. Sometimes we might think, well, I'm not worthy to participate in communion at all. And you know what? You're right. If it weren't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be worthy. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God, we are worthy to participate. Thanksgiving is also part of this. as Jesus with his disciples gave thanks, he gave a blessing, he broke the bread, said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, he gave thanks, he gave it to them, said, drink from it, you, this is my blood, the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus gave thanks for what they were about to participate in. And we need to have that thankful attitude when we come to the table, being thankful for what Jesus did, willing to take upon himself the sin of the world. You may have heard this term, the Eucharist. It actually is a Greek word that means giving thanks. And a lot of times they will use that in terms of the Lord's table. We give thanks based on the completed work of Jesus Christ. Because it's done. He's finished it. Salvation is available. There's nothing else that has to be done. The forgiveness of sins is available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Another thing that's in this is expectation. In verse 26 it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In other words, he's coming again. And we will participate in the Lord's Supper until he comes and takes the bride, that's the church, that's us, believers in Jesus Christ, he takes us to heaven and we have the banquet. I mean, can you even imagine what that's going to be like? No more weird little cracker things. Have you ever had the round styrofoam things? Have you ever had those? Those are... I mean, just imagine what this banquet in heaven's going to be like. It's going to be amazing. You think Sue's cookies are good? Wait till you get to heaven. And they're good. Those of you that don't come to Sunday school class, you don't know. So, just saying, we may need to set up more chairs next week. But that expectation that he is coming again, that this world that we live in is going to be gone and we're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. Jesus promised that he would come again. And that's the expectation we have even as we participate in the Lord's Supper, doing it until he comes again. Because he will come again. To take us home, the bride of Christ. So this morning, the table's prepared. And I invite all of those who love him and accepted Christ as Savior to participate in the table this morning. And that you would come expectantly. Come expectantly, for everything is ready, and that Christ will come back again. So if the guys want to come on up, and our musicians... So as we come to the table this morning, remembering what Jesus did, having that expectation that he is coming again, the proclamation of what he's done, being thankful for all he's done. There's a lot to think about as we participate in this. But we who are believers in Christ can truly be thankful for the blood that was shed for us and the representation here of his body and the blood. So the bread is the representation of his body that he gave for us. Take, eat in remembrance of Jesus. This cup is the representation of the blood that he shed for us. So take, drink in remembrance of Jesus. If you want to pass your cups towards the middle, the guys will pick them up on their way through. So again, thank you all this morning for coming and worshiping with us. And thank you, Wendy and Jack. Nice to have some different music, so, and I know it didn't go like you wanted, but, you know. But it's awesome. We appreciate it very much, so God bless you all. Have a great 4th of July.